A couple of the tweets that came in, let me get to them as Alex Pavlovich settles in here, and he's going to join us and bring us up to date on what's going on. Steve Campbell, thanks for the follow. Slowbane and B. McGoran, thank you. Chris Dedes, D-E-D-E-S. Chris wants to know the date for the Westlake Joe, but we call it Original Joe's at Westlake Dinner or Mardi Gras. It is April the 3rd. And if you want to sign up, just send me a note, marty@kmbr.com, and we will forward that to Rick Belson. Chelina Goldman, new Joe's in Westlake, is right across the street from her apartment. Might have to stop by and say hello. Danny Abella, our good friend, the attorney, is coming down to spring training. Danny, thanks for the tweet on that. Irene C. Russ Ortiz, one of our listeners. Of course, Russ, a former Giant pitcher, goes back to the 2002 World Series. Russ, thanks for the like today. Benji W., as I mentioned before, when do you think Sergio Romo will pitch? And that's probably a good question we can ask Alex Pavlovich as we start chatting with him. Alex, thanks for coming up. I appreciate it.
Yeah, second time today.
Yeah. Well,
game hasn't even started yet.
We started the show with you, and I didn't even come on. We went right to your short one-and-a-half-minute break at CSN Bay Area. Very lucky to have you, and you were right on top of the story.
How much of your audience did you lose?
Actually, I think people started tweeting in and said, who is this guy, Alex Pavlovich?
Good.
So, no, it was fine. But bring us up to date a little bit on Bumgarner and what you may have learned in the last hour or so.
It doesn't seem to be a lot of concern. I think, you know, the consensus is he'll miss one start. I would bet that he misses a second one. It does sound like what we heard from Bruce Bochy was that if it's two, it's two, and that's fine. So I think you always err on the side of caution here, and especially with a guy like that. I think it is a good reminder. I kind of thought about it over the last couple hours that we think of him as being superhuman, and he's not. And, you know, sometimes they have to be careful and maybe sometimes have to pull the reins back a little bit. And as much fun as it was last year, he did say, I asked him, are you still going to pinch hit? And is this going to affect it? And he said, no, I'm fine. I can still do all that. But maybe as we get further along and he gets further away from being a 23, 24-year-old, you start watching him a little bit more. And maybe in spring training they start watching him a little bit more and don't send him out there necessarily to face the Chapmans of the world, as much fun as that was. So maybe we'll see more of that. But for now it seems like it's not anything too major and something they can get through with rest and treatment here. So I think it probably is going to be okay.
Well, when you say pull the reins back, do you just use that for Bumgarner? Is that only for him that you say that?
It's appropriate. I just think, again, going back to the we think this guy can do anything. And we've seen him do things that we haven't seen. I think he can do things that probably most pitchers or almost any other pitcher in this league couldn't do right now. And not just at the plate, but in terms of stamina and I don't know if there are, you know, maybe two or three other guys in baseball who could have just thrown the number of innings he did that year. But it is something where as much as he got through last year and had no issues, it is something I think to watch. And anytime anything pops up, this is the first thing we've heard injury-wise with him in years. Anytime anything pops up, you should be ultra careful with a guy like that.
Yeah, I said on a worry meter, I gave it a 4, 4.5. I said, you know, anytime a cortisone shot in the foot, for people who don't know, Alex reported this earlier, he's got some nerve irritation, I guess, in the left foot between the third and fourth joint, and he had a cortisone shot yesterday. And then in that right side of the rib cage, it's not an oblique, they did the MRI, he's got some tenderness there, and that is why they shut him down. But I gave it about a 4, 4.5, I thought.
Yeah, I think I would probably be in the 3 range just because of his demeanor. You know, a lot of times the one thing we've noticed with guys, and you notice when you're in there every day, is a lot of times body language, and I think that's why it's so important that the beat writers are in there.
It's true.
You get to know these guys, and their body language and kind of the look on their face or the way they're going about things will tell you sometimes, you know, sometimes you'll realize the guy's hurt before we even get an announcement because you just kind of see him for a couple weeks and see things that are a little bit different. So I think he was in a good mood today, and seeing him before and seeing him afterwards, again, doesn't seem to be a lot of concern on his face or any any annoyance or doesn't seem to be really upset or anything. So I just think body language-wise, he seems to believe exactly what he told us, that this is a minor thing.
Yeah, you're 100% right on the body language. Yeah, you're 100%. I've noticed that over all the years I've been doing this. You could just look at a guy. Joe Panik is a great example of it. You
Absolutely.
Knew there was something wrong with him.
You could tell last year, even right? when he came back, and you could tell in talking to him and watching him walk around the clubhouse, and you can tell right now, and the reason I'm so confident when people ask, even before the last week or so, when I think Joe has like three hits a game, but even before that, seeing him walk around here the first week of spring training, had a huge smile on his face the entire time, and just looked like a guy who was healthy and happy to be back out there. So it is something where a lot of times you can read that.
Span today was throwing in the outfield, one of the first times you saw him compete in the infield-outfield drill. First few were terrific, then kind of eased up a little bit. He still has a little bit of soreness in that left shoulder.
Yeah, and you know, he told Henry Schulman no timetable really to get out there and play center field, which could mean they haven't looked 4 or 5 days ahead, or it could mean they haven't looked even further ahead than that. I think we're getting close to the point of spring training where you start to worry about guys, but I don't think we're there yet. If you get within probably 2 weeks of opening day and a guy hasn't been out there in the field, then I start to worry a little bit, and then you ask more questions. But I think the consensus this spring, and we've talked about slow playing everybody, and even talking to some people down there today and members of the staff about Bumgarner and about other guys. Gregor Blanco was scratched from the lineup today, kind of a sore back. And it's just one of those things where they are being so careful with everybody. And, you know, John Shea wrote a good piece the other day about how spring training is too long. I think the Giants feel that way, that there's too many games down here, and they're going to be careful with as many guys as they can. And they'll run the kids out there, and there's guys, you know, you look at the guys who are playing every day, Gorkys Hernandez and Mac Williamson, Jarrett Parker, Gillespie. There are enough guys to fill innings and get them through until the last couple weeks here.
Boy, Alex Pavlovich with us. Always a pleasure to have you. Really, it's a pleasure to have you on here. I talked about Grant Green today, and I haven't had him on the show yet. And, you know, first-round pick out of USC, the A's had him, Angels had him. Never really showed much with the stick, as we like to say, with the bat. But he can play just about everywhere. Grant Green in the mix for this thing?
Absolutely. I think he's one of those guys we haven't written a whole lot about.
Yeah.
But every year there's a guy, a Brandon Hicks, a Justin Maxwell, you kind of look up in late March and they're still here and they're still surviving all these cuts. And you know, the first one's coming. And I think he's going to be that guy this year, and we'll have a chance. I fully expect him to at least be with this team for the Bay Bridge series.
Really?
And through there. I would think so, just because of his versatility and the fact that he can play left, he can play everywhere on the infield. Just a guy who is a good kind of Swiss Army knife type, and obviously a veteran, and not somebody that if you have him on the team and at some point you have to make a move and try to get him through waivers, or if you DFA him or whatever, it's a little bit different than when it's a 23-year-old prospect or somebody like that, or somebody who you're afraid of losing. You know, an Adrianza last year we saw. There was always concern about putting him through that process and having somebody else claim him. So I think with Green, he's been around a little bit and maybe a little bit find some comfort here, and maybe they find that with him. So a guy, again, to keep watching the next week or so. I think he's putting himself in that mix, on that bubble of guys who might be the last guy on the bench, possibly.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until just the last couple of days, because he plays everywhere. And they're desperate. And look, Tomlinson today is at third base today. I think Adrianza, who you are a very big proponent of, A-Ray Adrianza, you were.
I was on the island.
You stayed with the island. You are the island. You stayed with him. I think it's going to be lonely.
I think so. And you just look at what Kelby's been able to do at shortstop. And the one thing with Adrianza was I always wondered, and the question I would always ask people when they complained was, if something happens to Crawford, and you knock on wood that it doesn't, but if something does, who goes out there and plays shortstop for 2 or 3 weeks? And he was the guy. He's been the guy in the system. But I do think with Kelby's ability out there, and I think Christian Arroyo is coming quickly, and And pretty soon we'll get to a point where if they need him on the left side of the infield, he can help out there. So it does become more of a crunch for Adrianza.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you did well last year. You hung in there with him last year in the face of adversity.
He's on base percentage the last couple of weeks. Yeah, he was on base 50% of the time.
You reminded us of that single day. Believe me, every day. All right, Chris Heston. Now, we've been penciling him in because of Kane, and I think we've all sort of come to the conclusion that maybe the Giants have as well, that he's not going to start the season on the active.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, Kane. So Heston is in there. Now, all of a sudden, we got the Bumgarner issue. Who's next up? I mean, you hope you never have to get there, but who's next up?
Probably Clayton Blackburn.
You think so?
Somebody who I think in every respect has had a good camp and has impressed. I know he's impressed people in the front office, just who see the – not to say anything about last year, but I think you see the maturation process with him. And it's just something that happens naturally with these guys. You have to remember how young he is. I think he's still 22, maybe 23.
23, I think.
A guy who got drafted out of high school. So it does take some time to get used to being up here and used to the preparation and what you have to do before games and all that. And certainly had a great year last year. I think the Giants saw a lot of improvement on the mound. And you know, again, nothing bad off the field that there was. I just know they love the maturation they've seen from him. And they think that there's not a concern anymore about having somebody that young in a big league rotation. I think they think he could fully handle it and he's ready to go. So I would think he's on deck and the next guy up, I don't know who's after that, but I was saying with Blackburn all along, I thought he was going to get 5 or 6 starts this year. And in some respect, I think with Heston now, you're looking at it, and I would think in some way, Chris, you know, I'd bet on him getting 12, 15 starts in some way this year, just because of some of the issues that we've seen with guys, and they have guys in there who haven't shown the last few years an ability to make 30 starts.
Well, we see Heston today. I imagine he'll go 4.
Yeah, and it's good for him to finally get out there and not have to come on as a long reliever try to treat it as a start.
Blackburn, too. And we're going to – I guarantee you he's going to get a start. They're not going to bring him in as a reliever. He's going to have to start some games.
Yeah, I'd love to see what he could do. You know, we saw this with Heston last year. I think it was against the Dodgers late in camp.
Friday night.
Yeah, and it's always nice. It's one thing for these guys to come in the fourth inning and pitch 3 innings. Yeah. It's another for them to come in the morning and know they're taking the ball from the beginning like they usually do. It's just a different preparation process. It changes the way when you eat, when you go out there and throw, when you get in the bullpen, all that. So I think with Clayton, it'd be fun, and I think we'll see it because they do have some split squads coming up to see him go out there and really get a whole day and see what he can do.
Now, tomorrow night in Mesa, close to where I live, maybe 5-10 minutes away from the house, we want to invite you over, of course, if you want to come over beforehand. Hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Lark Creek Inn, right? Okay, yeah, all right. We have fans all the time coming up here. Mesa. All right, tomorrow night near the house, we invite you over if you want. Now, Sonny Gray and Cueto. Come on.
I didn't look that far ahead. But I love watching Sonny, so
right?
That's going to be...
Don't you want to come out and see that?
I will. I have to be in Mesa. I have to be there every time. So, that'll be fun. I haven't seen Cueto actually yet because I took a couple of days off, and that was when he made his debut. So, they'll want to see him. Good test for these guys. It's been a little sloppy the last few days. So to go up against somebody like Sonny Gray, I don't know how many regulars we'll see in the lineup given that they're off on Tuesday
and there's
5 or 6 guys in there today. But for the guys who are in there, a good test for them.
All right. Thanks for stopping by as always. And I appreciate you getting the early word to us about Bumgarner.
Can I promote something real fast?
Please do.
As you know, I started a podcast, so I'm competing against you now on the what is it, audio medium?
Everybody is.
We're all.
I did the
first trying to
one.
Knock you off.
Chris Haft. I saw Chris Haft interview.
I know,
Wayne,
it's
Kuiper.
Funny when you search my podcast, all you find is it is there now if you have gone to iTunes by my name or the Giants Insider, but it's a bunch of podcasts that I've done with you. So, but Brandon Crawford was the first one. It's on iTunes. It's on our website.
Terrific.
Have a bunch of them lined up with players.
Yeah,
so
I don't mind the competition.
I'm just going to try to do what you do.
All right, very good. Well, you do it very well, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Alex. All right, more coming up right here, KNBR 680, the sports leader.